Good morning. You're listening to the Health and Wellness Talk. I'm KHNS Development Director Dawn Drotis, and joining me today is licensed clinical social worker John Hischer. John, welcome.
All right. Thanks for having me, Dawn.
Yeah, you bet.
This last weekend, our community experienced two tragic deaths, what appears to be an overdose, and it started, you know, a long overdue conversation in our community. So I wanted to go over today just a few things that I hope will be helpful for folks as we have these conversations about addiction, substance use, and mental health issues. And so specifically, I wanted to go over, just focus on addiction and the risk factors for addiction and drug use, and then some warning signs that someone may be struggling with substance use issues that we can see, and then how to have those conversations with someone who you're worried about, right? A lot of folks say that they see it's going on, but they just don't know how to start that conversation. So we'd like to give some ideas about that. And then finally, resources for those folks who are struggling with addiction or the friends and families of those who are struggling with addiction. It can be really hard on them as well. So I'd like to talk about those things today.
That sounds great. Thank you so much for providing that information.
So really, you know, risk factors, starting off with that. And there's three risk factors or four risk factors I really want to go over, I think, important. And the first risk factor, kind of community risk factor, and it's just really the availability and tolerance of the substance in the community. So when communities tolerate a certain amount of substance abuse, then it just makes sense that there's a greater risk for substance abuse in that community. So that's why, you know, I'm so glad we're having these conversations so we can look at that. Like, how do we view substance abuse as a community? The more it's tolerated in the community, the more likely that's going to happen in the community. And the second part of that is just availability. You know, the more these drugs are available in the community, the more likely that substance abuse can be seen. So community members have told me that drugs are being mailed here in Skagway to the Postal Service, to the Canadian border, brought up through Juneau, and talking to the police officers week, and it appears that the illegal drug market is just being flooded with these counterfeit oxycodones. So they look like oxycodones, but they're counterfeit. And just last summer, I think I was at the KHNS Health and Wellness Talk and discussing some counterfeit prescription opioids that led to a couple overdoses over the summer. So the availability is a huge risk factor, and the dangers of these drugs just increasing. And so they're here. And unfortunately, they'll just keep coming in till it's done on a national level, local level. All those levels need to get involved in that. But they're here and they'll keep coming in. So that's a huge risk factor for folks, right? The availability of it.
Sure.
And then the next one is just your genetic predisposition is a risk factor, right? Some folks are just more genetically predisposed for addiction. So if you know someone who may be relatives, close relatives who struggle with substance use issues, you know, that person may have a greater risk for becoming physically addictive to drugs. So that's another risk factor. Then the one that, you know, I really believe is a huge one is just co-occurring mental health disorders. Folks that experience substance use disorders generally are also experiencing some sort of mental health issue. You know, in my 14 years here in Skagway and then my years working at other hospitals and the VA, you know, I've yet to work with a patient struggling with a substance use issue that also didn't experience anxiety, depression, bipolar, trauma, or combination of those, or, you know, some other mental health issue. So untreated mental health issues can absolutely lead to substance use issues. So if you know someone who's struggling with any of those mental health issues, you know, it is really important to get them help so they don't develop those substance use issues. So important. So those are just some risk factors that I find can really drive addiction in our community.
That makes sense. Yeah.
And then warning signs. And these are signs for folks to really look at when they're concerned with someone, right? What are the signs that someone may be struggling with an addiction? What does it look like, right? And so one of them is just increased use over time. It might start off just like once at a party. They had a good time with it. Then it may become like twice a week, you know, just maybe after work. Then it becomes during work, then it becomes every day or whenever they get their hands on it. So you may see just an increased use over time, maybe a sign that they're developing an addiction. Another sign is they start lying about their use. They may lie about their using it all or how much they're using. If you start seeing some inconsistencies there, that could be a warning sign for addiction. Unexplained periods of absence, you know, it could be long absences, like they get the money and they go on like a week-long bender. That could be a sign. Or even short absences. You know, what I've been told is folks, kind of there's some guilt and shame involved in this, so they like to do it alone, so they may disappear into the bathroom to do it. And that's why it's hard sometimes to know when somebody's overdosed, because they do it alone. So there's no one around when they're using.
Right.
you know, so that could happen, right? So those long absences or short absences. And then there's noticeable changes in appearance and hygiene. So if you start seeing sort of just weight loss, or they start looking sickly, or just poor hygiene, or maybe even like tracks on the arms, you know, kind of like scabs on the arms could be something. Just really drastic changes in their personal appearance could be a sign. Another one is difficulty controlling use. You know, they may be trying to quit, but just can't. They may try to slow down, but don't. They know it's harmful for them, but they try to control it, but they just can't, because that's the nature of addiction. Then there's some symptoms of withdrawal that you can look at. So say they can't get their hands on some of the things they're addicted with, say opioids, right? You know, there could be some extreme agitation. You know, my time working at the Dahl Memorial Clinic and at hospital in Anchorage and then a VA, I've seen people get really verbally and physically abusive when they can't get the prescription they want. So that's part of the addiction. Right? They're trying to go in there and get an opioid or a benzodiazepine or a stimulant. And since they can't get it, they get extremely agitated. And that's why I always worry about the clinic staff and some of these things happen. But that's part of like physical withdrawal from the folks. Anxiety. And then with opioids especially, there seems like when withdrawal looks like some like flu-like symptoms. So nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, runny nose, muscle spasms and aches, you know, loss of appetite. Those sort of things could be symptoms of withdrawal. So those are something to look for if you're worried about somebody. You know, preoccupation with the substance. They're always talking about or thinking about who has some. Is there a new provider in town that I could try? How can I get the money to get some? They're always thinking about it, right? It becomes the center of their world. And that's why they may give up some, you know, really important activities, maybe work activities, social activities, family activities. You know, the drug becomes really the most important thing in their life. And so they give up a lot of those things, become preoccupied with the substance. And the other thing, they just continue to use even after recognizing there's a problem. You know, I don't think I've ever worked with somebody who didn't know their addiction was bad for them, but they use anyway, because in the nature of addiction and how it impacts our brain and our behavior. And so they continue to use even though they know it could lead to their death. They use even though they know that they may lose their job or get arrested. So that's why it's really important that we help them, you know, find that help. So, yeah, so you recognize all these things. You see these things. You know, so what's the next step? What folks have said they have a hard time with is going to their loved one or their neighbor. They don't want to embarrass them. They don't want to shame them, but they're concerned with them. So how do you help? And this is why I'm glad we're having these conversations, because this is what saves lives, right? These conversations. So first, you know, you want to think about finding the appropriate place and time to have the conversation. You know, one thing to think about that is make sure that they're sober during the conversation. We want them to remember it. We want them to be present during the conversation. So make sure that they're sober. That may mean going there first thing in the morning. So just thinking about what that may look like. Make sure it's private. Folks experience addiction already face a lot of shame and guilt, and they're not likely going to be receptive to us if we talk to them about their addiction in like a public place. So make sure it's private. And if you bring someone with you to have the conversation with the person, make sure it's somebody that they trust also. So you want to make sure that their privacy and their trust is honored. And be specific on why you're concerned. That could sound like, you know, I noticed that you're struggling to stay focused at work, or I noticed that you're, you know, really struggling with money now and you just got paid. You know, it's really helpful when you're specific why you're concerned. Like, label the behaviors. Be specific, give specific examples if you can. That really helps them, you know, connect with like, oh, people are noticing this, right? And they're concerned. And then, yeah, just let them know that you care and you're willing to help, you know, just as a fellow human, as a community member, as a loved one, as a friend, that you're noticing these things and that you're willing to help. And we really want to focus on doing that with a non-judgmental attitude, right? So, you know, nothing shuts down somebody more than when somebody like talks down to them or they feel like they're being judged. So, and this is hard sometimes when we really disagree with the person's behavior and their choices, but it really helps when we come at it in a really non-judgmental way. So really being able to listen to the person without judging them as bad or immoral, or, you know, avoid expressing moral judgments about their substance use issues, and, you know, just show your concern about their well-being. And then, you know, then we want to go into, you know, once we do that, we want to really go into giving them some reassurance. Right? You know, this is hard. We know it's hard. We know change is hard. We know addiction is hard. But people can get through this. People can change their behavior with hard work and with time. People have done it, right? People can live healthy and happy lives. I know quite a few people in the community who have done that, turned everything around, are quite successful. So there are examples out there. And then, you know, that's the reassurance part of it. Then the information is just know the resources in your community. Know what's available to, out there. Know how to connect them to those things, and or find like good information on addiction to guide them to and help them get that. And that's what I kind of wanted to close on is resources. And so there's quite a few resources that you can direct folks to. You know, of course, you can contact me at Taya Counseling Services. And that's 983-2459. And then the Dahl Memorial Clinic, you can talk to your primary care provider there. And they are hiring a new mental health clinician there in March. So that person will be available in March. Or they can connect you, they can help connect you to other places too. So, and that's 983-2255. And then there's a couple of helplines that are 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and free, which are just invaluable resources for our community. And one of them is the search helpline. I've had a lot of folks call there, and they've been really helpful, and that's 877-294-0074. And the other one, too, is relatively new. It's that 988 number, and that's staffed by master's-level mental health clinicians, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and they help folks who are maybe experiencing suicidal thoughts, experiencing addiction, experiencing mental health crisis, grieving. They are just great resources, and that's, again, staffed 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. They have folks who speak other languages on that line, too. They have a VA, they have a veteran-specific line, too, that they can connect you to if you're a veteran. So that's a really important helpline. And then in terms of groups and Skagway, anyway, we have the Smart Recovery Group, and that's a group that I run, and it's a cognitive behavioral therapy-based group. And we have folks who experience all sorts of addictions in our group, anywhere from eating addictions to hard drugs to alcohol to gambling, any type of addiction. We have folks there to support them. And then there's the AA group. Oh, so the Smart Recovery Group meets at 6 o'clock every Monday at Skagway Traditional Council. And then the AA group meets every Thursday at 7 p.m. at the Presbyterian Church here in Skagway. And so those are some local resources here. But there's one that I really want to highlight, and that's the Rainforest Recovery Center. That's the inpatient care in Juneau. And their phone number is 907-796-8690. And I really wanted to highlight that because, you know, there is just a limit of what outpatient care can do for some of these addictions. I mean, we're talking about folks who are experiencing some pretty hardcore addictions. And so utilizing inpatient care that Rainforest can provide and really be their best bet for a lot of folks experiencing addiction. Of course, I'll see folks, outpatients, and the folks at the clinic and the folks at the, you know, search clinic can see folks on an outpatient basis. But for a lot of folks, inpatient care is really what we need to focus sending them to, because that's their best bet. You know, we can support them when they come back in the community, but a lot of times there's a lot of medical issues that need to be addressed, and a lot of coping skills that can be done, withdrawal issues that can be done there in the inpatient setting that is just really required, I think, for successful recovery. So those are the resources and some of the risk factors and some symptoms to look for, and then just how to have those conversations. Yeah, that's what I thought I'd talk about. Those are some of the things I wanted to cover today.
Yeah, that's wonderful. A lot of very important information to consider as people navigate these times, and a lot of good resources to tap into. So this is KHNS Development Director Dawn Drotis. I've been joined on today's Health and Wellness Talk by licensed clinical social worker John Hischer. John, thank you so much for your time and the work you do for the community.
All right. Thanks for having me.
You bet. You are listening to KHNS, Haines, Skagway, and Klukwan.